Thank you very much, Ayatollah Moezzi, for that informative speech, and Sayyid Muhammad Razavi for his translation. Our second speaker today is Sheikh Ayub Rashid. He has studied extensively in Islamic law and Islam and the community. Today he will be presenting on the thoughts of Imam Khomeini on racism, and in addition to his dealings with the apartheid regime in South Africa in particular, and the African continent in general. It has been written about him that he is a leader in the Swahili community. It has also been said that he is a fantastic scholar and a good speaker. He has been a lecturer at the Islamic College for Advanced Studies, and it is always a pleasure to greet him in the hallways of As-Sadiq Az-Zahra School. Please welcome to the podium with your salawat, Sheikh Ayub Rashid.
Respected scholars, ulama, elders, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, sayyidina wa habibina wa tabibi nufusina wa shafi'i dhunubina abil qasimi Muhammad. Salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin alladhina adhhaballahu anhumur rijsa wa tahharahum tathira. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase his mercy and rahmah on the soul of Imam Al-Khomeini rahmatullahi alayhi. Looking at Imam Khomeini's influence on Africa and his thought on racism, there are many points if we want to talk about. First of all, I don't think that we will be able to cover all the aspects on this particular topic. However, I want to talk, inshallah, today on his influence on Africa, spread of madhab of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, of course the unity which was forgotten and he revived it on different examples which he made people to be aware of, the issue of Islamic identity, and what other people say on his influence, of course ending with racism, looking at the definitions of racism, and the way we see it today. Now, looking at the influence of Imam on Africa, we will find that his influence on Africa, it was on the basis of humanity. I'm sure you will agree with me that in the 80s and 90s, African continent was looking as the way they call it, dark continent. Nothing good could come out of this continent. Even though today we look at and we hear many people when they talk about Africa, they say it is the future of the world. The future of the world depends on Africa. Imam Khomeini, his relationship with Africa was on the basis of humanity, that an African person is a human being like other human beings. He came with a very important terminology when he was talking to Africans and to other people about Africa by introducing a word, al-mustadhaf, which this particular terminology was almost forgotten. Even though the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Qasas says clearly, وَنُرِيدُ أَنَّ مُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ We want to make those people who are deprived on the land, to make them a'imma, leaders. Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi, came with this particular terminology to say that if you look at the world today, you will see two types of people. They are those who are oppressors and those who are oppressed. And oppressed are mustadhaf. So he was talking to people of Africa and other parts of the world as mustadhaf to tell them that, remember, Allah in the Holy Quran will want to make you as leaders, so wake up. And on the other hand, he talks about the word al-mustakbirin or mustakbir. And he made clear to people that when you look at the political approach of this world today, you can see that there are people who don't have friendships with anyone. Their relationship with others is based on interests, and it's not based on that which is based on humanity. And it is not based on friendship, except it is based on interests. Based on this particular approach, we find that Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayh, had made a big impact in the hearts of Africans. Of course, before the Islamic Revolution of Iran, Madhab of Ahlul Bayt was known, but in a very small scale. After the Islamic Republic of Iran, you could see that many people were asking, what is this Madhab? I remember clearly in the 80s, when first pictures of Imam Khomeini appeared on the scene, people were asking themselves a question. Where have you seen a Muslim leader wearing a turban leading the people with his philosophical approach which can penetrate the hearts of millions? It was here people were starting thinking that, okay, there is another alternative. I remember clearly to see the pictures of the Christian leaders who visited Africa, Makarios from Cyprus, who came to Africa as Christian leaders to say that, yes, the religion has got a role to play within our societies. But that was not the case with Muslims. It was only after the appearance of Imam Khomeini, he came with the idea that being a Muslim, it doesn't mean that you can close yourselves within four walls of the masjid and you don't have any role to play within the society. Madhab of Ahlul Bayt became one of the schools of thoughts people were ready to learn about. Very little known, as I said, was known before the Islamic Republic of Iran. Muslims were scattered. There was no anything which was known as unity. He looked at the issue of celebration of Miladun Nabi. He came with the idea of Usbu' al-Wahda, the unity week, which Muslims could gather together to celebrate the wilada of Rasulullah. In Africa, by the way, if you want to be closer to all the Muslims, it is through Miladun Nabi, Maulid, the wilada of Rasulullah. And Imam Khomeini took that opportunity to say there's no any need of you fighting against one another, but you can come closer, celebrate the whole week, the whole month, make it clear to the enemies of Islam that we are all here to celebrate the wilada of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi. There was no Islamic identity. There were many so-called Muslims educated in different countries in Africa. They were not ready to say that we are Muslims. But through Imam Khomeini, they were ready to say, well, I am a minister, but at the same time, I'm a Muslim. Islamic identity in terms of hijab, it wasn't there. I know many sisters who are not wearing hijab, but it was through the ideas of Imam Khomeini they came forward to say, yes, we are Muslims, and we are happy to show our Islamic identity. I'm sure some of you may remember when Rahbar Sayyid Ali Khamenei, may Allah protect him, visited Zimbabwe. At that time when he was a president, there was this state banquet which he was supposed to attend. And when he attended, there was a lot of drinks which were not allowed in Islam. And he said, I'm sorry, I won't sit here. I cannot sit with people who are drinking alcohol. It was at that time people started thinking, oh, Islam doesn't allow people to drink alcohol. It is as if other leaders were participating and they didn't say anything. But he made that impact. I know particularly a special scholar by the name of Ahmad Didat. I'm sure most of you have listened to his tapes. He attended a conference in Tehran. It happened that it was on the day of Friday when he was coming back from Tehran. It was in Nairobi, Kenya. He attended there and he was given pulpit to say something because he was Ahmed Didat. When he was giving his short speech before Salatul Jumu'ah, he said, I have seen things which I couldn't imagine with my own eyes. Thinking about Imam Khomeini, what I've heard from him, looking at his face, I was captured, and eventually he made a very important statement. He said, every person has got a hero, and my hero is Imam Khomeini. And you could see few people who were there. They were not happy to hear this particular statement from Ahmad Didat. But he said, yes, he is my hero, and he has changed me. The way I am thinking about Islam, it has been changed from my meeting with Imam Rahmatullahi Alayhi. We understand through Imam Khomeini, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he helped many African countries, not on the basis of interest, not on the basis of riba, not on the basis of haram, but it was on the basis of helping them economically, socially, educationally, and of course in different fields of assistance. We know particularly there was a time when petrol was given to South Africa as apartheid regime. Imam Khomeini said, if this doesn't help people, then I'm ready to stop it because I know that there are many deprived people don't get the benefit of this particular petrol. Socially and culturally, we know that Imam Khomeini, for example, in some countries, the organization which is known as Jihad Sazindagi were sent to particular countries in Africa, and they were helping people to stand on their own. There was no any interest to say that we are going to get something back. He wanted people to stand on their feet. We understand that many imams from remote areas of Africa who have not traveled by aeroplane were invited to attend Islamic conferences in Iran. And some of them, when they came back, they said, truly speaking, this is Islam, because we have seen things which we couldn't even imagine. And because of that, Imam Khomeini, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, made many people to understand a different types, different approach of Islam. He never interfered in any country in Africa or in any part of the world militarily. But he helped people to stand on their own, to be free thinkers, and that's why his impact is very big. When we talk about racism and the thought of Imam Khomeini on this particular issue, first of all, we need to understand the way it has been defined. Racism is a belief or a doctrine that inherent differences among the various human races. And number two, they define racism as hatred or intolerance of another race or other races. And in terms of sociology, they say racism is an abusive or aggressive behavior towards members of another race on the basis of hate or intolerance. And in terms of politics, they say racism is a policy or a system of government based upon discrimination. When you look at all these particular definitions, you come to know that, of course, a racist is a person who practices racism. And according to United Nations, it says that there's a convention with United Nations on the elimination of all forms of racial discriminations. The term racial discrimination shall mean any distinction, exclusion, restriction, or preference based on race, color, descent or national or ethnic origin that has the purpose or effect of nullifying or impairing the recognition, enjoyment, or exercise on an equal footing of human rights and fundamental freedoms in the political, economical, social, cultural, or any other field of public life. Looking at all these definitions, you wonder really, if United Nations recognize the definitions of racism, why still we see a lot of racism being practiced around the world, in different parts of the world, and United Nations is still keeping quiet? Is it theory or practical which we learn from United Nations? However, we know that UNESCO, when it comes to the issue of racism, it marks 21st of March every year as the yearly International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. Elimination of racial discrimination, while still we see it still being practiced, first and foremost, within United Nations itself. And we know when they celebrate this particular day, it is in memory of the events that occurred on March 21st in 1960 in South Africa, in a place called Sharpeville, where there was a demonstration, peaceful demonstration by the students against the apartheid regime. And it was here the police in South Africa decided to kill those students who were participating in that particular demonstration. Now, as we know, racism involves many things. As it can be seen clearly, racism, it is associated with extremism, hatred, xenophobia, exploitation, racial supremacy, genocide, and of course terrorism. In Islam, as we know, it is haram to practice racism, and that's why we find with the ideas and thoughts of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi, he was against any form of racism. And that's why you could see him clearly saying to Muslims, you are all Sunnis and Shias are like two wings of a bird. One is known as Sunni and another one known as Shia. And with these two wings, you can fly like the birds fly. It was here, even though he knew that he was a Shia and Iranian people were majority Shias, but there was a need to recognize the participation of others, and that's why he didn't practice the issue of racism. Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi, he was always against any form or shape of racism, since racism is one of the severe diseases of human society in this age. His thoughts were always based on Muslim ummah, that we are ummatan wahida. We need to work together. And it was on the basis of the Holy Quran, as we learn from Surah Ar-Rum, Surah number 30, ayah 22, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says clearly, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ. And one of his signs, one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the creation of the heavens and the earth and the diversity of your tongues and colors. And of course, it is on the basis of Surah Al-Hujurat 49:13, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, we have created you males and females, nations and tribes, in order for you to recognize one another. And on the basis of hadith of the Holy Prophet, that la fadla li arabiyin ala ajami illa bitaqwa. There is no any supremacy of an Arab against non-Arabs or blacks against white except for taqwa. And on this basis, he was, Imam Khomeini rahmatullahi alayhi, a proper student, follower of Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, who says, "An-nasu min jihati timthali akfa'u abuhum Adam wal ummu Hawa." When you look at human beings, you know that in terms of equality, they are all the same, because their father is Adam and their mother is Hawa. Imam Khomeini rahmatullahi alayhi did not discriminate anyone on these bases which are mentioned, but he was the victim of. I remember clearly listening to a particular lecture by the Sheikh called Abdul Hamid Kishk, who was a very famous scholar in Egypt. He said, one day I walked in the morning and the newspaper was brought to me. He was a blind Sheikh. His daughter was reciting or reading the newspaper. And the daughter said, there is a heading here which says, Mata al-Khomeini. Khomeini has died. And then he wanted to know what is happening. The daughter said, it has been said, claimed this and that. And then they came to know that Imam Khomeini is still alive. And then it was here, Sheikh Abdul Hamid Kish posed a question. He says, why do you say Mata al-Khomeini? Why don't you say, for example, Mata this particular leader and that and that? And then he said, you Arab reciters and writers, you don't mention the names of your leaders because they are minna. They are from us Arabs. However, Imam Khomeini is not an Arab, and that's why you think to say whatever you want to say. Based on this particular idea, we understand that Imam Khomeini did not discriminate anyone, but people discriminated him, and he was the victim of discrimination. And that's why you see, whenever you mention him as Imam, to some people, it was like, no, this is kufr, this is bid'ah, this is that. It's because people feared his thoughts, which penetrated the hearts, not only of Muslims, even of those who were non-Muslims. And it is because of his thoughts, and it's because of his purity, and it's because of his stand, and it is because of his clear ideas, people decided to follow him, whether they were Muslims or non-Muslims. I remember clearly to see some Africans in Africa who are not Muslims, but who are ready to follow Imam Khomeini because of his views and his ideas. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate his station and to give us the reward of this great personality. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi tawajibin wa tawahirin.
Next lecture is entitled Imam Khomeini and the Future of the Muslim Ummah. And addressing the topic is Sheikh Jabir Shandu, who is originally from Tanzania and has studied in the Hausa Ilmiya of Qom. Please welcome him to the podium with your salawat.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد The head of the Islamic Center of England, Ayatollah Muizzi, respected scholars, my brothers and sisters in Islam, dear children, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First of all, I would like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having given me this opportunity to be here this afternoon. And I would also like to thank all the brothers and sisters who have attended this conference, who have taken their precious time to attend this conference, and especially those brothers and sisters who may have traveled from different parts of the UK in order to be here this afternoon. The topic of my discussion is the path of Imam Khomeini and the future of the Muslim Ummah. As we are discussing the impact of Imam al-Khomeini on the contemporary world, it is equally important to discuss the cause and the factors that led to this change and led to the movement that he initiated in Iran and that is now and which is now spreading all over the world. If we know the cause and the factors that led to this movement, then that is the path of Imam al-Khomeini Quddisa Sirruh. And if we understand the path of the Imam, that what was the path of the Imam, what was the thought of the Imam, then in light of this thought, we will be able to outline the future of the Muslim Ummah. But before I discuss the path of the Imam, what was the path of the Imam? What was the thinking of this man that he initiated this movement and he had such a great impact on the lives of millions of people in the world? If we want to understand the path of Imam al-Khomeini, we need to understand the personality of the Imam, the world view of Imam al-Khomeini. 3rd of June 1989, a few hours before Imam al-Khomeini passed away, Ayatollah Imami al-Kashani, who is one of the final prayer leaders in Iran, in Tehran, he says that we were in the hospital and we were in the room in which Imam was. And he says that we already knew that Imam is in the stage of experiencing the pangs of death. He is already in the stage of Sakaratul Maut. His eyes were closed. And Ayatollah Imami Kashani says that after this, the voice of Adhan rose. It was time of Adhan, and the voice of Adhan came up. He says that as the voice of Adhan was heard in the hospital and in his room, he says that this man, he opened his eyes. He opened his eyes and he says that as if he knew that it is the time of the prayers and I am responsible to stand in front of my Lord. Now this was the world view of Imam al-Khomeini. He, from the bottom of his heart, he knew that I am here to serve Islam. I am here to serve my Lord and the message of my Lord. The spirit of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was entrenched in his existence and in his heart. He opened his eyes and he stood for, he was whispering something. He says that I went and I tried listening to him, that what is he saying? He says that I could not listen, I could not understand what the Imam is saying. But in the world view of the Imam, he says that there is only one Lord who needs to be served, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man, a human being needs to free himself of all other pseudo masters and only serve his real master, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he looks at human beings, at the humanity, he looks at them as people who have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And that is why he has utmost respect and dignity for human communities, for all human beings, whether irrespective of their religion, of their faith, of their ethnicity, of their culture, of their race. Why? Because he knew that all of us, we are created, we have only one aim, to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was in Paris in 1978, before the 25th of December, before Christmas approached. Imam rahmatullah alayhi, he calls one of his advisors and he tells her that I have been here in this town and many people have been coming to see me, and this might have caused inconvenience to many people, to my neighbors. So he tells her that you prepare some gifts and presents, and on the Christmas Eve, you go and deliver these presents to these neighbors. And on my behalf, apologize to them, that if they should forgive me if I have caused any inconvenience to them. He was the leader of a political movement, but see to what extent he is showing his respect to human beings, irrespective of their faith, irrespective of their religion. If we want to understand the path of Imam al-Khomeini, we need to understand the personality and worldview of the Imam. Imam says that there is one Lord, and we have to free ourselves in order to serve this Lord. And that is why, when it comes to the thought of Imam al-Khomeini, we see that Imam says that if mankind and human beings, if they want to salvage their own selves, if they want to free themselves, then there is only one way in front of them, and that is Islam. The message of Allah, this is the only message that can free all the human beings. And that is why this man, He was convinced that the problems that the Muslim Ummah are facing today, it is because of their separation from Islam. Not only the Muslim Ummah and the Muslims, but in the thought of Imam al-Khomeini, all the tribulations that the modern man is facing in the world, it is because of his separation from the divine teachings. If we were to summarize the path of Imam al-Khomeini in one word, that path is Islam. Islam stands for the path of Imam al-Khomeini. Many of us, when we talk about Imam al-Khomeini, we know him by the concept of Wilayat al-Faqih. He's famously known as for the concept of Wilayat al-Faqih. But this is not the only component in the thought of Imam al-Khomeini. Imam al-Khomeini, there are other components as well that make up this path and component and the way of Imam al-Khomeini. And we need to understand these other components in order to have a very clear picture of the path of the Imam, the cause and the factors that led to this great movement that he initiated in that towards the end of the 20th century. But when we say that Islam was the path of the Imam, many of us may think that, well, we are Muslims, an Imam was a Muslim, the path of Imam was Islam, we also follow Islam, so that is the end of the story. But this is not the end of the story, rather it is the beginning of the story. When we say that the path of the Imam is Islam, we need to understand that what Islam was Imam believing in. If yesterday we used to see it was enough for a person to say that I am a Muslim, today it is no longer enough for a person to say that I am a Muslim. Rather, what is important today, equally important, is that what version of Islam are we following? That is very important. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salam, in one of his letters to Malik al-Ashtar, Imam says that, oh Malik, this Islam as a religion, sometimes this Islam becomes enslaved. It becomes the slave of other people in the hands of the evil-minded people. When this Islam is enslaved, it can never give rise to people who are free-minded, who think of freedom and who are independent. In the same way, Imam al-Khomeini, he diagnosed an important problem in the Muslim Ummah. And that was that the version of Islam that was prevalent in the Islamic Ummah was not the correct version of Islam. And he himself classifies Islam into two categories. He says that there is one Islam which is the genuine Islam, and there is another Islam which is the fake and the counterfeit version of Islam. The genuine Islam is the Islam of Muhammad, is the Islam of the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And any other Islam, any other version of Islam which is apart from this, Imam terms it as the American Islam. This is the word that Imam himself uses. So Imam, according to the thought of the Imam, we have got two versions of Islam. The genuine Islam and the American Islam. In the last 50 years of his life, Imam al-Khomeini, he actually, in his words, in his speeches, in his writings, his concern and his aim was to explain and expose that what this pure Islam is and what this genuine Islam is and how does it differ from the counterfeit version of Islam. Now, what is this genuine Islam that Imam is talking about? One of the great contributions of Imam al-Khomeini in the contemporary age is that he reintroduced to us the Islam of the Holy Prophet. That Islam which conquered the East and the West. Today what happened that the Muslim Ummah, though we are saying that we are following the path of the Holy Prophet, what happened that today this Ummah and this nation has been afflicted with all these tribulations. I will very briefly and very quickly go through the qualities and characteristics of the genuine Islam in the eyes of Imam al-Khomeini. According to Imam, the source of the fake Islam is not always the Quran and the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. And if it is in some cases, then it is that Quran and the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet which has been distorted. Whereas when it comes to the genuine Islam, the source of this genuine Islam is the Quran, the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet, the practice of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam through the methodology of ijtihad. The fake Islam, the counterfeit version of Islam, relies on the intellect and reason which is guided by desires and lowly self of a human being. Whereas when it comes to the genuine Islam, it is the intellect and the reason which is guided by the divine teachings and by the principles of Islam. Intellectually, the fake version of Islam is intellectually rigid and has a very restricted and confined perspective on life and religion. Whereas when it comes to the genuine path of Islam, the genuine path of Islam is intellectually open. It takes into account the different realities of life. The fake Islam and the counterfeit version of Islam is intolerant towards other faiths and beliefs. Whereas the genuine Islam that Imam al-Khomeini believed in was tolerant to different faiths, and not only to different denominations within Islam, but to different religions which are existing today in the world. When it comes to social and political arena, according to Imam al-Khomeini, the counterfeit version of Islam accepts humiliation before the world, the so-called world superpowers. Whereas when it comes to the genuine Islam, it does not allow its followers to accept humiliation, whether it is political humiliation, cultural humiliation, economic humiliation, or social humiliation. The fake version of Islam, the American Islam that Imam says, is indifferent towards oppression and injustice. Whereas the Islam that Imam al-Khomeini introduced to us, it is the Islam which fights and which rises against injustice and oppression. The fake version of Islam, if we look at all these characteristics and qualities of the fake Islam, we find that today if we look at the Muslim Ummah, we see that unfortunately all these characteristics and qualities of the American Islam, in the words of Imam al-Khomeini, we find that this Islam is prevalent today in the Islamic world and in the Muslim worlds. The fake version of Islam turns a community to be a slave of other people, whereas the real and the true Islam of the Holy Prophet, it does not let its followers to become the slaves of other people. The counterfeit version of Islam, it accepts that its followers should bow down before the oppressors, whereas the genuine Islam does not do so, does not allow to do so. It calls people, the fake version of Islam calls people to be dependent on others, whereas that path that the Holy Prophet showed us, it does not allow us to be dependent on other people. Many of the Muslims today may think that if I am a professional, if I am earning a good living, then this means that we are independent, we are not relying on other people. Yes, to some extent this is correct. But Islam looks at an individual, at a Muslim, not as an individual, but Islam looks at a Muslim as part and parcel of the Islamic Ummah and of the Islamic nation. I may be independent in my individual life, but in my community life, as a part and parcel of the Muslim Ummah and of the Muslim nation, we today are not independent. Economically, we are not independent. Politically, we are not independent. Culturally, we are not independent. In different avenues, we are not independent. According to Imam, the counterfeit version of Islam is the Islam of comfort and pleasure. But according to him, the genuine Islam is that Islam which teaches its followers to sacrifice whenever there is a need to come forward and sacrifice for the sake of Islam. The followers of the genuine Islam, they come forward and sacrifice for Islam. The genuine Islam, in the genuine Islam, politics is not separate from religion. Whereas in the counterfeit of version of Islam, politics is separate from religion. Politics is a dirty game. Whereas according to the path that Imam al-Khomeini has showed us, politics is not a dirty game, rather it is something which is sacred and a platform to serve humanity. In the counterfeit version of Islam, religious leaders, religious authorities can be any person, a handful of people who have memorized a handful of Islamic terminologies, they become scholars and they are referred to as religious authorities. But according to the path of Imam al-Khomeini, those scholars who are well grounded in Islam, through the methodology of ijtihad, they are the true religious scholars and the source of guidance for the Muslim community. Now, these are some of the characteristics of the genuine in the thought of Imam al-Khomeini. So when we say that the path of Imam is Islam, we need to understand which kind of Islam. Which Islam was Imam al-Khomeini advocating? This country, the Islamic Republic of Iran, today this nation is economically independent. It is self-sufficient, it is not relying on other countries. When it comes to politics, today there is no country in the world which is independent politically more than the Islamic Republic of Iran. When it comes to the different avenues of science and technology, today this nation, in some avenues of science and technology, it is leading this caravan of knowledge today in the world. What happened? What transformed this community? What transformed this nation? It was this path of Imam al-Khomeini. This genuine Islam, when it was injected into the minds and hearts of these people, it revived a nation. This is the effect of the genuine Islam and that Islam of the Holy Prophet. And that is why the supreme leader of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, may Allah bless him with a long life, he says that the path of Imam al-Khomeini was the path of Rasulullah. The path of Imam al-Khomeini was the path of the Holy Prophet. And today, the so-called world superpowers, if they are afraid of anything, it is this thought of Imam al-Khomeini, the genuine version of Islam. It is not that the revolution, that they are afraid of revolutions and political upheaval. No. If they are afraid of anything, first and foremost, they are afraid of this cultural revolution that is taking place and that may take place in the minds and hearts of the Muslims because of this path of Imam al-Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi. And that is why immediately after the Islamic Revolution of Iran in 1980s, one of the foreign secretaries of these so-called world superpowers, she says that we are not afraid of the Soviet Union. If they have got weapons, we also have got weapons. But what we are afraid of is the culture that is coming out of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This genuine Islam which has been injected, if it enters into any community, it will transform that community. And that is why it is very important for us to understand that the Islam that we are following today, which version of Islam is it? Today, the enemies understand that if this version of Islam reaches the Muslims, then that is it. We will never be able to dominate the Islamic countries and the natural resources that they have. So there is only one way, and that is if you want to combat this path of Imam al-Khomeini, the genuine Islam, then there is only one way. Create different versions of Islam and put them before the Muslims. Let them deviate, mislead them by different versions of Islam. And today it is one of our responsibilities when we are now talking about the future of the Muslim Ummah. If we have understood what is the path of Imam al-Khomeini, what version of Islam did he present to us, and he reintroduced the Islam of the Holy Prophet to us, it is our responsibility to see today that what version of Islam do we have? Today, if we want to see that what is the future of the Muslim Ummah, there is only one way in front of us. And that is, we reflect that what Islam are we following? And we should take on the path of Imam al-Khomeini, the path that he showed to us. There is no other way. Number one, to understand this Islam and the path of Imam al-Khomeini. Number two, to be convinced that this is the only path that can lead to our salvation and to the salvation of our communities. And number three, to practice and implement this message of Imam al-Khomeini in our communities and in our societies. end, I will relate one incident that Ayatollah Shaheed Murtada Mutahhari, he narrates that when he went to see and to meet Imam when he was in France before the Islamic Revolution of Iran, he says that when he returned back to Iran, he says that I have seen in this man and I have seen of the spirit of this man something that has really amazed me. And not only that it has amazed me, but it has strengthened my iman and my faith. Shaheed Mutahhari was not an ordinary person. He was not an ordinary man. He was one of the greatest Muslim thinkers of the 21st century. He says that I have seen something in this man which has transformed me, which has strengthened my iman. He says that I have seen four things in this man. He says that the first thing that I have seen in this man is that amana bihadafih. He says that I have seen four amana. There are four things that he has believed in. Number one, he has believed and he is convinced of his goal and of his objective. That his aim and his goal is the right, and he is correct and he is aiming towards the right direction. The second thing which he says is that amana bisabilih, that he has strong confidence on the path that he has embarked. He has confidence in Islam. He has taken this path. Many of us, we may believe that Islam is the right religion, but many of us, we may not believe, and we may not have confidence that Islam is the only path that can give us salvation today in this modern age and era. He says that this man, he is convinced of his path. Shaheed Mutahhari says that the third thing that he is convinced of, amana biqawlih. He has said that this nation, the Iranian nation, they are going to support me, they are going to help me, and I'm sure that they are going to support me. And finally, Shaheed Mutahhari says that amana birabbih. And the most important of all these four things is that he has believed in his Lord. He has strong conviction in his Lord. When Imam al-Khomeini was returning back to Iran in 1979, he was told, a message was sent to him by the then President of the United States, that the government of Bakhtiar, the East and the West, we have got consensus that we are supporting this government, so pay heed and mind that you should not topple this government. But this man, he did not pay heed to this call. He went to Iran and he toppled the government, the rule of Shah and the government of Bakhtiar. This conviction that Islam is the right path, this is something that we need today. Our communities, the Muslims, wherever they are, it is our responsibility today to discover this path of the Imam. Today we are responsible to see that what kind of Islam are we giving to our children, to our younger generation. What kind of Islam is taught in our schools? It is very important. What kind of Islam is taught in our madrasas? This is very important. Imam al-Khomeini, as I said, his personality, the beginning and the end of his personality was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and was Islam. His only concern was Islam. Right from day one, when he initiated his movement, he was convinced that the support of his Lord is with him. Until the final day of his life, when he was given the call, he was on his deathbed, but he rose and he stood against his master and his real Lord. I will end my talk with a poem from the famous Muslim thinker and reformer Muhammad Iqbal of Pakistan. When Muhammad Iqbal has many poems on the Muslim Ummah and the Muslim community, the Muslim nation, in one of his poems he says that when he recalls and when he mentions that what is the need of the Muslim nation and the Muslim community today in the contemporary age, he says that wo ek sajda ruh-e-zameen jisse kaanp jaati thi. وہ ایک سجدہ روح زمین جس سے کام جاتی تھی اسی کو آج ترستے ہیں ممبر و محراب. Iqbal says that one prostration, he recalls that zeal and that enthusiasm of the early Muslim during the time of the Holy Prophet. He says that how they were in minority, but with their strong belief they could defeat the East and the West, they could conquer the East and the West. He says that one prostration that would make the earth and the layers of the earth tremble and shake, it is that prostration and it is that sajda that today our mosques, our members and our mihrab are in search of. It is that spirit that is needed in the Muslim community today to retain its independence, to regain its independence, its freedom, its dignity and honor. And this is something that Imam Al-Khumayni rahmatullah alayh reintroduced and injected in the Muslim Ummah and the Muslim nation. Assalamu alayk, ya ruh Allah. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he may elevate the station and position of Imam Al-Khumayni in the hereafter. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you. I'd like to make a few announcements. Today we have with us the Al-Nimr team. This is a new organization made up of individuals who are passionate about human rights. They are campaigning for the release of Sheikh Nimr, who is currently being held in a Saudi prison and is likely to be given the death penalty. Both Amnesty International and the Islamic Human Rights Commission have classified Sheikh Nimr as being at risk. Please visit their representatives in the stall located upstairs in the library to sign their petition and find out about their upcoming protests outside the Saudi embassy on June 15th. Make a difference today. There is another announcement. One of the beautiful things about conferences is not just the knowledge and inspiration we can gain from them, but also the opportunity to see friends that we haven't seen in a long time and to greet each other. We are going to take a short break and allow you to do that, as well as to get some coffee and tea upstairs in the library if you so choose. At this time, we will also have a video presentation on the life, the final days, and the funeral of Imam Khomeini. So with a salawat, you are free to relax for a few minutes, and we will resume the conference later. Salawat.